Did you know that in the United States of America, you used to not even be allowed to divorce your wife? It was only in the 70s that we got this easy divorce law where there's a no-fault divorce, where nobody's even done any adultery or abuse or anything. Not that that even, you know, necessarily even justifies divorce, but basically this easy divorce where you just divorce because, oh, we just don't like each other anymore, that's since like the 1970s. And you know who was the first country to institute that in the modern era? The Soviet Union. The communist Soviet Union instituted a no-fault divorce law, and then next, California followed with the same thing. And many other states didn't have it. You had to go to California to get the easy divorce. And then other states, now pretty much all the states, you can divorce for every cause. You just get a divorce. So basically, it gets to the point where the marriage isn't really even worth the paper it's written on. It's not really a legally binding document. You say, well, I'm a libertarian, it shouldn't be. No, the Bible teaches it should be legally binding. It's a legally binding contract. And by the way, that's to protect women too. Because women are staying at home and they don't really necessarily have the earning capabilities that a man has. So it protects them that their husband's not just going to, you know, have a bunch of kids with them and leave them high and dry. But that he's committed to that relationship and that there's a legally binding document of marriage to protect women as much as to protect men. But the Bible says, Jesus' answer here to this question, hey, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they twain, that's two, by the way, not three, not four, no polygamy. They twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. Now look, they understood what he's saying. But based on their response, they understand if you marry her, you're stuck with her. So I don't know if they're kind of jokingly saying that or if they're being 100% serious when they say, hey, in that case, we better just not get married if we're going to be stuck with the old ball and chain for the rest of our lives, you know. And what does he say to them when they say, well, in the case a man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. Does he say to them, oh, well, guys, you know, hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. You can still get divorced, I mean, if things really go south. Is that what he says? No. He just says to them, you know, all men cannot receive this saying. Hey, some people just can't handle this kind of preaching. Right. But guess what? That's the fact. That's the way it is. Now go to Mark chapter 10. You know, I love Jesus' response when people kind of criticize his preaching. Like they come to him and say, hey, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended at this saying? Like, oh man, I'm so sorry. He never said, he's always just like, you know what? Every tree that my father hasn't planted is going to be uprooted. Amen. It's going to be plucked up. He said, you know, hey, all men cannot receive this saying. And I love what he says. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Right. Whoever, what's he basically saying? You know, hey, whoever wants to hear this preaching can listen to it. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Yeah. Now look at Mark chapter 10. The Bible says in verse number 2, and the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered or allowed to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said to them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again in the same manner. Why? Because this has always been an issue that people struggle with. They choke on it. The disciples are choking on it. The Pharisees are choking on it. They're like, wait, let's talk about this again, Jesus. I mean, he already made it clear to them, but they're like, now that we're in the house, you know, now that the Pharisees are out there, come on, Jesus, what's going on with this? Is this for real? We're actually supposed to stay married no matter what? And he says to them, when they ask him about it again in the house this time, you know, it says in verse 11, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a man shall put away her husband, or I'm sorry, if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So here it's worded a little different because now even a woman that divorces her husband, because, you know, we think of men in the Bible divorcing their wives, but, you know, the Bible's even saying, well, what if she divorces him? You know, if the woman divorces her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now go to Luke 16. Luke chapter number 16. And the Bible gives us the same teaching, a little bit different. It says in verse 18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. I mean, it's just, it's real clear. There it is, Luke 16, 18. And yet today we have all kinds of Christians justifying divorcing their spouse and marrying someone else. And honestly, if you make allowance for that, if that becomes the doctrine, you'll have this happening all the time. That's why we have a divorce rate amongst Christians in America today that is pretty much identical to the divorce rate amongst non-Christians. Because you'd expect the non-Christians to get divorced a lot more often and that Christians would stay faithful. No, no, no. It's the same. Same stats. Why? Because churches are not teaching this. Churches are teaching you, oh, your husband was mean to you. Oh, he hit you with a pillow. He threw a raw hot dog at you. You know, well then, hey, in that case, you know, you need to get, oh, he smoked marijuana. You know, oh yeah, you got to get out of that horrible environment. But look, and look, I'm against drugs, friend. I'm against pornography. I'm against drunkenness. I'm against, non-consensual pillow fights. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually for them. But the point is, though, that doesn't mean you divorce your spouse because guess what? People aren't perfect. People make mistakes. It's for better, for worse. You married a sinful person. Now look, some people are really laid back, cool people, and they don't have any problems in their marriage and stuff. Okay, the exception proves the rule. But if I were to ask for a raise of hands for who's had some knockdown, drag out fights with your spouse, you know, virtually every hand would go up in the building if we had our heads bowed and eyes closed and you really knew that no one was looking around. You know, there'd be a lot of hands going up. I mean, and when you're a pastor, you hear all kinds of stuff from people. And I don't go around, you know, I don't put a shingle outside my door like, hey, marriage counseling. I actually try to stay away from that stuff. But the thing is, people still constantly come to you and they tell you stuff. And the bottom line is, you know, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And, you know, you hear about things being thrown and shattering and breaking stuff and screaming and whatever. Look, it's life. And it doesn't mean just, it's over. My marriage is over. It's not over till the fat lady sings. You know, it's not over till the bitter end. It's for better, for worse. It's for richer, for poor. It's till death do us part. Amen. And if that would be thundered from the pulpits of America saying it's till death do us part, amen, then you know what? People would be staying married. And another thing that needs to be taught is that these are your choices biblically. If you want to be right with God and walk in the will of God, these are your choices. You stay with the person that you're married to, or you get divorced and stay alone for the rest of your life. Because if those are the choices, people would be like, yeah, I think I'm going to make this work. But when the choice is, oh, stay married or trade up for something else, well, then the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and then all of a sudden you have a divorce rate of 50%, 75%, whatever in churches. That's what's going on. These scriptures aren't being... And look, I talked to a lady that had been divorced over 3 times, and she said, if I would have known what these scriptures said, my life would have gone differently. I wouldn't have made that mistake in the first place if I would have known that that's what the Bible taught. But people don't know. They're not being taught. Well, it's going to be taught here. And you say, well, you're offending people in the room that are divorced and remarried. Well, all men cannot receive this saying. This is what the Bible says. And look, if you're divorced and remarried, I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. And the Bible's teaching is that you are to stay with the person that you're married to right now. Because two wrongs don't make a right. You married somebody, you broke that vow, that was sin. You married someone else, you committed adultery, it's over. Okay? But now you've made a second vow to a second person, don't break that second vow. Okay? It's your job to going forward do right. And God commands us to keep whatever vows that we make. And so therefore, if you have divorced your spouse and married someone else, you can't go back in time and fix it. And there's no sense in beating yourself up about it. The right thing, and I don't want to spend the whole night on this. Let's go back. I've done whole sermons on it. Let's go back to Jeremiah 3 so we can get to some other material here. But let me just say this. You say, well, Pastor Anderson, what if that's me? What if I'm divorced and remarried? Here's what you do. You confess it as a sin to God one time. Once. You say, God, I'm sorry. I did this and it was wrong. And I disobeyed and I'm sorry. Okay? And then you say, Lord, from here on out, I want to obey. And, you know, whoever I'm married to right now, I'm going to stay married and I'm not going to make the same mistake again. And then you move on with your life. Now, look. There could be consequences and punishments that are coming at you from what you've done. Because I'm not going to get up here and say that you commit sin and you have no consequences. Even though God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, there are still often consequences in our lives for the things that we've done. So all we can do is confess and forsake our sin, and then we will find mercy with God. And hopefully other people are praying for us when they see us sin, and they're interceding for us and asking God to be merciful to us as well. That's all we can do. And then we just live our lives and serve God and forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. But to sit there and say, oh, go back to your first spouse, that is a false doctrine. That is a lie. That is not biblical. And that is a twisting of scripture that's become popular in recent years. I've never even heard of it because it's so off the wall compared to what the Bible actually teaches. And so look, God is the God of a second chance. I'm not saying, hey, if you're divorced and remarried, your life's over, you're doomed. But you know what? It's wrong. And if you're divorced and you're not remarried, then you should go back to your original spouse. And if your original spouse is already remarried, then you should remain single until your original spouse dies. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches. Well, that's a hard saying, but that's what the Bible teaches. Now, there are people that would ask the question, well, what if you divorce your first spouse and then you marry the another, right? And then that person dies. He brings that up in Deuteronomy 24 and says you can still never go back to the first spouse once there's been a remarriage. Even if the other people involved die. Now, if the other people involved die, you can go marry someone else, but you can't go back to the old spouse. That's what God's law states. It's an abomination. It defiles the land. And our land tonight is defiled for that and a lot of other worse reasons. Our land is very defiled. So anyway, back to Jeremiah 3. I don't want to spend the whole night on that, but I did want to spend some time showing the Bible's clear teaching so that we don't take a parable in Jeremiah 3 and then throw out the words of Jesus where he clearly stated what his will is. You know what his will is? For two people to get married and to stay together until death. And if anyone divorces their spouse for any reason, it is because of the hardness of their heart. And it is not God's perfect will for your life. And if you commit that sin and then you marry someone else, you're adding sin upon sin, and it's not God's will. We need to just decide, those of us who's married here tonight, put up your hand if you're married. See all the married people? We need to all decide that we are going to stay with the person that we're married to right now until the bitter end, until death do us part. Okay? And if things get bad, then we dig in and we pray for better days. You know, and we try to fix things, and you find a way to make it work. And you know what? When failure is not an option, it's amazing how people find a way to work, to make it work. It's funny how people ask these people that have been married for 50 or 60 years, and maybe you've even asked people like that. And I know I've been present when someone asked an elderly couple, "What's your secret to staying married for 60 years? What's your secret for staying married?" You know, that whenever they hear that question, you can always see it in their eyes that that's a stupid question. Seriously. You can always see it in their eyes that they're thinking, you don't get it. Because there's no secret. It's just you just don't get divorced. Because see, the people who are asking that question, oh, what's the secret to staying married for 50 years? They think there's some secret where your marriage just becomes all unicorns and rainbows and butterflies, and then all of a sudden, like, you're going to stay married for 60 years because it was just so awesome every day. I mean, why wouldn't you stay married when it's this awesome every day, every month, every year for 60 years? I haven't even thought about throwing in the towel. No, that's not true. The real reason is that they stayed married because it was the right thing to do. And because they, here's a novel concept. They loved each other. And so they loved each other even when things got bad. I mean, look, even when things get ugly, we should still love our spouse. We should love our spouse even when marriage is at its low point. Even when our husband or our wife is you know, acting in a bad manner and making our life misery, we should still love them and stay faithful. That's what love is. Not this fair weather type of love where you only love when things are going great. No, while we were yet sinners, God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ loved the unlovable. And so we need to love our spouse even when they're not at their most lovable. That's true love, true commitment, true faithfulness. It's like, oh, what's the secret? The secret is obeying the Bible. That's the secret, and it's not a secret at all because it's been published and you can buy it at the Dollar Tree.